Welcome to the Midday. I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland, and I have a special guest in the studio today. Christopher O'Reilly is a concert pianist and arranger with an enormous body of recorded work from Rameau to Rachmaninoff and some wonderful arrangements of songs by Radiohead and Nick Drake, among others. And there's also the short-tempered clavier by B.D.Q. Bach and Busoni Scriabin, and the list is really deep, really wide. But for most of us here in Wisconsin, we know you as the host of From the Top, and that is the most popular classical show on the radio right now, and it's heard on our airwaves Sunday evenings at 8 o'clock. Welcome, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. And of course, From the Top is produced by the venerable Vagley family. Tom Vagley is our producer and big Madison native. The family has been here for centuries.
Very well-known family in the area, yes.
Very proud to be here.
Well, thank you for coming. And you're here because you're going to be co-hosting a performance tomorrow night featuring young people that play magically. And you've been doing that with From the Top. And we have our 10th anniversary of the Final Forte at the Madison Symphony Orchestra's Concerto. Yes, it is a great name. And how did you start working with young people?
Well, I have been working with young people for a long time, but I came to From the Top as the trustee of New England Conservatory, Gerald Slavitt, and the co-founder of From the Top, Jennifer Hurley Wales. She was on the development staff at New England Conservatory, my alma mater, and Jordan Hall had just got its historical landmark status, and they thought, well, wouldn't it be great to have a radio show out of Jordan Hall, like Prairie Home Companion, out of the World Theater, of the Globe Theater? And Jerry had been instrumental in touring the preparatory division orchestras at NEC and got to see firsthand on the bus these kids who were completely dedicated and passionate about giving of themselves to a larger entity. And he thought, well, why can't we lavish the same kind of attention on our young musicians as we do on our high school athletes? And thus, the idea was born.
It's a brilliant idea, and it is just mind-blowing when you hear the level of artistry that these kids have at a young age. And we're going to showcase this hour some of the kids that have been both on From the Top. They've been featured on your program nationally, and they've also been finalists here in Wisconsin as the Final Forte. So we'll start with one that was on one of the earlier shows, 2004. Her name is Krista Stewart.
Yes.
And she was on at the age of 14.
Now, is she from Madison, or is she from nearby, or because I remember her name, yes.
Middleton, which is outside of Madison, and she was only 14 at the time, and she played a piece by Prokofiev, which is a pretty sophisticated piece for a 14-year-old, I thought. And afterwards, you talked with her about her teacher and his cat Buddy, and you know, it was just a cute conversation. But let's hear you speaking with her a little bit, and then the music that she plays.
Let's start the show off with our youngest performer of the day. Joining me on stage is a wonderful 14-year-old violinist from Middleton, Wisconsin. Please welcome Krista Stewart. Krista, you've got a great piece to open our program with. Tell everybody what it's going to be.
We will be playing the second movement of Sergei Prokofiev's second violin and piano sonata.
You don't seem scared. You're not scared, are you, playing for all these music teachers?
Wait, are these all music teachers?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Really?
Well, we'll give it our best shot.
Wow, are you nervous?
I'm very nervous, but I'm always nervous.
All right.
Whenever you're ready at center stage, we'll take it from the top. Thank you.
That was Krista Stewart at the age of 14 in Minneapolis and doing some pretty tough music, Prokofiev. Yeah. And we were talking about kids getting better and better.
Yeah. I some of these kids have actually been listening to the program for a long time. One of our wonderful oboists, Ryan Jack Roberts, who just played on the show, I think, just last summer and is in the rotation, I'm sure, from Maine, Sydney, Maine. And he was an extraordinary musician. And he said, well, you know, he had been thinking about being on From the Top since he was a pianist at a very young age and was so amazing, so amazed and thrilled that he actually got to play the oboe and we got to collaborate together. So, you know, From the Top has become sort of the brass ring in this country.
No question about that. In fact, my colleague Ruth Ann Bessman, who hosts Classics by Request on Saturday morning, her daughter, yes, Ariella Borod, yeah, yeah, has been playing from an early age. She's a pianist.
Wonderful pianist.
And they listened to the show and talked about wanting to be, and she mm-hmm. practiced and applied and finally made it. And yeah. She was on cloud nine, in fact, became a Jack Kent Cook scholarship,
yes,
winner.
And we're very proud of Ariella.
Thrilled about that. Well, why don't we listen to your introduction and what Ariella had to play.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
So we've had performers from the Great Plains, one from New York City, and now we're going to meet a 17-year-old pianist from the Midwest. Please welcome from Madison, Wisconsin, Ariella Borod. Ariella, welcome. You've brought a great standard of the piano repertory. Tell everyone what it is.
Thank you. I will be performing Chopin's Andante Spinato and Grand Polonaise.
Thank you. Ariella Bohrad.
17-year-old pianist from Madison, Wisconsin, now studying at the Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan. Ariella is one of our Jack Keck Cook Young Artists.
Ariella is also the daughter of my colleague Ruth Ann Bessman, and also appeared on Final Forte. She was one of the finalists. Actually, she won the Final Forte competition the year that she appeared, and made me cry watching her. Just totally unexpectedly, the beauty and the earnestness and the music just was overwhelming. Does that happen to you sometimes, the emotional content of the music, seeing these kids?
Gosh, and the events themselves. We did a show in Columbia with the youth orchestra there. Matthew Hazelwood was the conductor, and we knew him from Interlochen. And we had a wonderful dress rehearsal, and then he had a heart attack and was in the hospital, and so the kids came and played, you know, Death and Transfiguration, and it was kind of hard not to well up with tears, the dedication they had to him. He subsequently, you know, died, you know, very soon thereafter. It was very, very wrenching emotional experience. But, you know, a devotion to music and a devotion to something larger than oneself is what it's all about, and that's what we gain great solace from, great power. So it's all good.
It is. And one thing we were talking about during the break was that music, it lifts everyone. It can lift everyone. And we're very lucky here in Wisconsin that we have a strong Wisconsin music school music association that reaches out not just to public schools, but also to homeschools and private schools. And we have youth symphony orchestras, a couple of them around the state. What are you seeing out? So we know what we have here in Wisconsin. What do you see nationally? What is happening?
Well, it's always been a problem. You know, people say, you know, when you run out of talented kids from Juilliard Prep and Interlochen, what are you going to do for the radio show? And the fact of the matter is, you know, and Madison is truly one of the most arts-conscious cities in the country. But, you know, if you're in, you know, Alabama or Mississippi or, you know, North Dakota or something, what's going on there? How do you get a music education? It's not happening in the schools. And the gratifying, and again, the emotional gratification of knowing that there has been for decades such a dedicated and expert network of private music instructors all over the country. There is not a place in this country that you can't get a world-class musical education and training, because we have world-class kids coming from all over the country, and that's what we're so excited about. But mostly it's thanks to that extraordinarily dedicated and expert network of private instructors.
As long as kids have the resources to pay for it.
Yeah,
good. Well, we have a quiz question coming up in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, I'm Stephanie Elkins. I'm filling in for Norman Gilliland. And my guest is Christopher O'Reilly. He's the host of From the Top, which is heard every Sunday evening here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Very popular with our listeners. And he's here in Wisconsin because he's going to be co-hosting with my colleague Lori Skelton the Final Forte, the finals of the Bowles Young Artist Competition tomorrow evening. That's with the Madison Symphony Orchestra. And if you are interested in being in the audience, if you're in South Central Wisconsin, we'd love to see you. The doors close and you must be in your seats by 6:45. We're going to be broadcasting it live if you can't get there. And you can make a reservation by calling the Madison Symphony Orchestra office before tomorrow at 4. And the number is 608-257-3734. Or you can visit the symphony's website to reserve your seats online. And it is free and it's open to the public. It's a wonderful performance. And tomorrow evening's show is going to be especially interesting. There is a marimbist who's doing music of Hovannis. That's going to be really neat.
Yeah, it's a very exciting and very atmospheric piece.
That a fantasy on a Japanese woodcuts.
Yeah.
Oh, neat piece. And then Adriana Wu is the pianist. She's doing the piano concerto number 1, the last movement by Edvard Grieg, which is an iconic piece, certainly. And then Liam Mayo is doing the Piano Concerto No. 1 by Mendelssohn, first and third movements.
How do you get a more Irish name than Liam Mayo? I think my brother James Murphy O'Reilly probably beats that, but only by a little bit.
And that's a tough piece. Holy cow, yeah. The first and third movements to that. And then the Sibelius Violin Concerto. Tabby Ree is going to be doing that. So these kids are going to be doing some tough pieces with a world-class symphony.
No, but with aplomb. I mean, I saw half of the rehearsal last night, and it's just amazing the poise and preparation that these kids display.
Yeah, it is. We're really lucky. And I'm talking with Christopher O'Reilly, host of From the Top, and we're talking about talented kids. And do you see a lot more homeschooled kids?
Well, we see a broad range of kids. Oftentimes, you know, when a lot of dedicated energy is going into their music education, it sometimes becomes preferable, if not necessary, for them to be homeschooled so they can concentrate more on their musical studies. Some of our kids just come from intensely religious backgrounds, and so that's meant to be a protective element for their development. And they, oh, excuse me. Oh, a sneeze that got away.
Bless you.
So, you know, whatever works for them, you know, we see kids from homeschool backgrounds who are intensely socially, you know, adaptable and wonderful and enthusiastic. So, yeah, whatever it takes.
I simply ask because I noticed that two of the four that will be appearing tomorrow night on Final Forte are homeschooled. Yeah. And I imagine that it makes rehearsal schedules and practice time a lot more flexible.
A lot easier.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell this story if it's okay.
Sure.
One of our homeschooled kids was a young man outside of San Antonio, Texas, who made it absolutely clear in his pre-interview that he never listens to anything but classical music. And on that show in San Antonio, I was preparing my arrangement of Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box, which was so grunge-worthy and satanic that it was probably best played with fists rather than fingers. And so he was standing in the wings, ready to come on, and I played my break piece. And knowing, you know, his predilection for only classical, it was with great gratification that I heard that he had mentioned to our producer, as I was playing this grunge piece, he said, "I want to learn how to play that." So I was doing the devil's work, but he's turned out okay. He's all right now.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. From the Top, we hear we hear it on Sunday evenings, and we hear the culmination of an awful lot of work that goes on behind the scenes.
Yes.
But what we hear is really just the tip of the iceberg of what's happening. That's an enormous organization, and you do a lot more than just put kids on the radio.
Well, first of all, we have a longstanding relationship with the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, and they provide $10,000 scholarships to our kids every year. They also have another program that, you know, that selects certain kids to be followed through and have all of their schooling paid for through college. I mean, it's an amazing organization, and they've been extraordinarily supportive. But we also have on every show, for every show, we have a morning after sort of arts leadership seminar where the kids come in and we talk about all of the ways that they can bring music to their community. We also, with every taping that we do around the country, the kids also go into the schools and play for their peers. I don't think there's anything more powerful, not just for classical music, but just for the empowerment of kids to have their peers play for them, not some old fogey, you know, like me, you know, coming in and saying, "Oh, well, this is what I love to do." But having a kid come in and play the viola and have the audience of their peers say, well, I mean, we're not exactly necessarily proselytizing for more violists, but the impression that goes across is, gee, this kid has been playing their instrument for maybe 4 years. If I find something that I like, I can do anything. And that's an amazing message. So they are the leading edge of the future of classical music in this country, just by their enthusiasm and their originality of their ideas of presentation, you know, creating a local benefit concert for natural disasters or what have you, and becoming an integral part of their community. So it's not about being in an ivory tower and having faster octaves than anybody else. It's really a matter of their passions in all kinds of different ways of music and genres of music that define them as artists and make them unique. And also their dedication to the community at large. So I think really that's where the development of new audiences for classical music is coming from.
How many alums do you have now from the top?
Oh, thousands.
It must be.
Thousands. And they've gone on to do incredible things. We do at least one or two Where Are They Now shows where we get to speak to kids. There was one of the Ali sisters who the question at the time was, you know, she was playing violin on the show, but she was equally proficient at the piano. And I said, so where does your real passion lie? And she said, macrobiology. Oh, no, nanobiology. And so she's now doing, you know, stem cell research at Harvard, fully funded, you know. So, and then we have a girl who played the Flight of the Bumblebee in a bumblebee costume on the tuba. And so when she went to go to Northwestern University, they looked at her and they looked at her application. Didn't you play in a bumblebee outfit on from the... So she made her way through Northwestern and now is the principal tuba player of the Philadelphia Orchestra.
Whoa.
So, yeah, we have all kinds of kids everywhere.
Well, there was another student on your program who is now at Northwestern, and I'd like to hear from him. That's... it's Ansel Norris. He's a trumpeter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, a fabulously talented trumpeter. And he was on your show and did all kinds of trumpet warm-ups and mm-hmm. sounds with his mouthpiece, and it was really fun. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up playing a pretty tricky piece.
He's a virtuoso.
Theme and Variations on Carnival of Venice by Jean-Baptiste Arban. So let's hear that. This was From the Top.
Thank you.
whistles from the crowd for Ansel Norris. He was only 16 when that was recorded in your show in Mesa, Arizona in 2008. The Theme and Variations on the Carnival of Venice by Jean-Baptiste Arban. I imagine you hear some of these pieces a few times, some of the show pieces that kids work on that become quite popular.
Well, you know, I mean, there are instruments that are more popular than others, so you get a lot of Saint-Saëns Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso, but the nice thing is you have kids playing not so popular instruments, so marimba and xylophone and sousaphone and euphonium, and almost invariably, you know, the kids are finding their 5 minutes of their favorite music, and quite often it can be contemporary music as a result of the instrument that they've chosen. So we like to, you know, we celebrate composers, also young composers, and underrepresented composers for their instruments, and a wide variety of repertoire.
I'm Stephanie Elkins in for Norman Gilliland and talking with Christopher O'Reilly, the host of From the Top. He's here in Wisconsin. He'll be co-hosting the Final Forte tomorrow night with my colleague Lori Skelton. It's the Madison Symphony Orchestra, four young artists who will be performing. And by the way, if you're in South Central Wisconsin, it is free, and we invite you to reserve a seat. They like to know how many are coming, and you can do that. We have a link on our website at wpr.org/finalforte, FINALFORTE. And quick and easy to do. You have to be in your seat by 6:45 tomorrow evening. You, in addition to doing what you do on the radio, which is remarkably time-consuming, are also a recording artist. We have a stack of CDs of yours. You are an arranger. You take other people's work and make marvelous arrangements of them. And you perform, and you've got all kinds of other things going on. How do you find the time, and what's coming for you?
Well, I'm very excited about the first season of concerts we'll be presenting this summer at Tippett Rise, an 11,500-acre ranch, which is a sculpture park, a large-scale sculpture park, and a concert hall and several outdoor venues. So we'll have a lot of piano recitals. We've just obtained CD18, which was Horowitz's old piano. We have probably four of the greatest Steinway concert grands in the world up at Tippett Rise now. Matt Heimovitz and I will be starting out using the facility, the Olivier Concert Barn, at the end of April, making our next record, the Rachmaninoff, Shostakovich, and Prokofiev sonatas, recorded with David Frost as producer and Richard King. But then, 6 weeks of lots of concerts, chamber music, but a lot of pianists. Two of the Tchaikovsky competition laureates, George Lee, also a From the Top alum, and Lucas DeBarge, one of the audience favorites at the Tchaikovsky. Stephen Huff is coming. Konstantin Lifshitz, a very great favorite of mine. Alessandro Del Giovan, Jenny Chen, lots of piano recitals. Who else? Nikolai Demidenko is coming. So a lot of piano recitals, and all in the midst of this incredible art and architecture. We'll have four concerts inspired by the artists, almost like DJ'd concerts by the artists. Mark de Souvreau has two pieces up at Tippett Rise, and he's a big Schubert fanatic. So we'll have Matt Heimovitz and the Dover Quartet doing the Schubert Quintet, and the Ariel Quartet will be coming to do the last the Opus 132 Quartet of Beethoven, because Mark de Souvreau installed a piece on the grounds called Beethoven's Quartet.
Wow.
So lots of really interesting things. Stephen Tlasnik, a great enthusiast of American music. We'll have some Aaron Kernis and John Adams for him, and the dreamlike Patrick Doherty infusion of a schoolhouse with multiple willow branches. It looks like something from Where the Wild Things Are. That was a dreamlike thing, and that suggested a French program, so I'll be playing that. So lots and lots of things.
Multimedia immersion. It just sounds marvelous.
Yeah, so that's June through August.
Oh, that sounds great. And will there be information available on your website?
As a matter of fact, Tippett Rise is announcing the season this afternoon.
Oh.
So just look up Tippett Rise and you'll see the concert schedule probably by about the end of the day today.
Well, why don't we hear a little bit of your artistry?
That sounds good.
You have a great CD featuring some of the music that you do during the breaks. And we'll hear, why don't you introduce the first piece?
Well, this I was introduced by a friend to the music of Guastavino. And so I do two concert pieces on this At the Break CD. So we're going to be hearing the Cantilena number 4. And then I've got some Rachmaninoff here as well, Daisies.
Thank you.
That was our guest, Christopher O'Reilly, at the piano with Rachmaninoff Daisies. And the first one, a piece I wasn't familiar with, a cantilena by Guastavino. Beautiful.
Yeah, Philip Brunel of Minnesota, the choral world there, introduced me. And Stephanie, our mutual friend Stephanie Judd, just has been championing the music of Carlos Guastavino, wonderful Argentinian composer, wrote a lot of choral music and thankfully a lot of solo piano music of great beauty.
What's coming for From the Top? Anything we can...
Well, we've got Louisville coming up next week and Boston right after that. Of course, we always schedule a February show in Boston and it always gets canceled for snow.
But Boston, yeah. In February, well...
No, not the best choice. But yeah, the radio show is really going strong. We do 18 new shows a year. And as I say, the kids just get better and better. It's kind of amazing.
It is. And we were talking a little bit about what it takes to do a radio show like that. You don't think about... We just tune in and enjoy it. But you have to bring in the kids and the crew.
And their parents.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And we do, because I don't think there's anything harder than talking and playing. You know, even in my dotage, you know, I can't imagine anything more challenging. So yeah, we have a full dress rehearsal where all of the performances are taped, recorded, and all of the interviews are recorded. So it doesn't make the interviews in front of the audience any staler. I mean, it just kind of, you know, puts things into focus. And virtually having all of the performances in the can before the audience shows up gives the kids a great feeling of confidence, such that invariably showtime they're stepping it up. It's a wonderful SOP that we've established, and
they're a little more relaxed.
Exactly.
And
the audience is an inspiration instead of an intimidation.
I love hearing the audiences because they really respond.
Oh, yeah.
They whistle and they clap, and well, which they do here for Final Forte. I've been in the audience. There was a marimba player a couple of years back, and I think he must have packed the hall with all his high school buddies. And man, they whistled and hooted and hollered and stood up, and it was just so gratifying to hear that in a in a concert hall setting, which you don't always hear. And it was neat. Well, you are here, and I will be there as well tomorrow night for the Final Forte. It's the finals of the Bowles Young Artists Competition. We'll hear four really talented artists playing with the Madison Symphony Orchestra, and you can be in the audience as well. And you want to make reservations, you can do that by going online at wpr.org/Final Forte. You need to be in your seats by 6:45 tomorrow evening. Christopher O'Reilly is the co-host with my colleague Lori Skelton. And there's music by Mendelssohn and Sibelius and Edvard Grieg and Alan Hovana. So it'll be just a terrific show. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much, Christopher O'Reilly.
It
was just delightful.
Great pleasure.
Thanks.